I have to share with you that when I read the gospel appointed for today, I thought to myself, there sure is a lot going on. Within our gospel lesson, there are many messages that I could talk with you about this morning. Matter of fact, we could be here all day, but I will spare you from that. Because we can learn a lot about what God wants for us and what God wants from us. Our lesson opens with John the Baptist proclaiming, "Jesus is the Lamb of God." He reminds the people around him that he baptized Jesus, and just like a dove, the Spirit descended upon him. Then he goes on to testify or bear witness to Jesus being the Son of God. And like a good movie, there's no lull in action. Our scripture tells us that the next day, when John was standing with two of his disciples, he again identified Jesus as the Lamb of God. And because of this, two disciples followed Jesus. Now Jesus, noticing two people following closely behind, turned to them and asked, "What are you looking for? What are you seeking? What do you need?" They respond to him saying, "Where are you staying? Where can we find you?" Now Jesus, never giving us an easy answer, replied, not with an exact location or an address or even directions to get there, but rather he invites them to come and see. They take him up on his invitation and they stayed with him for the entire day. When was the last time someone asked you where you lived and you responded, "Come and see"? No address for Google Maps or your navigation system. Just follow me home and spend the day. I imagine that if we responded similarly when people asked us where we lived, there would be many raised eyebrows and maybe even some confusion. But it's important for us to understand that Jesus responds to their request with "come and see" because he wants to get to know them better. Jesus wants them to understand who he is. Jesus wants for them to be in relationship with him. Come, follow me, and see what I'm all about. And Jesus invites us also to see, to give each other more than a cursory once-over or glance. He wants us to take the time to better understand each other, as well as to get to know him. I'll share this story with you, and my nephew would be very upset if he knew I was sharing, but he's not here. Many, many years ago, when he was 5 or 6, we started a tradition. And every Christmas when I would come home, I would take him shopping for Christmas gifts for his parents and our other family members. Well, on our first trip out, I asked him what he'd like to get his parents. And he said, "I can get my dad some gloves. He's outside a lot." And I said, "What would you like to get your mom?" And he said, "I'd like to get her a dolphin." I said, "A dolphin? Okay, we can do that." So we went from store to store looking for this dolphin, to no avail. The dolphins we found were not up to his standards. And after some exasperation, I asked him if we could get her something else. He said, "No, I want to get this dolphin." So we went to one last store, and I think it was a Dollar Tree, and walking around the aisles, finally on the aisle with the candle holders and the other glass trinkets, we found this dolphin. It was about 5 inches or so long, and it stood on a little perch. And when he saw it, he smiled from ear to ear. So that was a win for Auntie. He was pleased, and I was pleased as well. Well, on our way home, I asked him why he liked dolphins so much. And he explained that he went on a field trip with his classroom and they saw the dolphins at the zoo. And his teacher told him that they liked to play and that they were nice. And he continued, "My mom is really nice and she likes to play with me." Now, when I saw the dolphin, I really didn't know anything about dolphins. I only saw what was in front of me. I didn't understand why he was so determined to find one. Seeing it, just looking at it, I could not imagine what was so special about it. At times, I think we all fall into this way of seeing. We look and we see what our eyes take in, what's on the surface. We don't understand what's beneath the surface, and we don't allow ourselves to imagine anything beyond what is right before our eyes. What is the current reality? I think that God wants us to really see, to not just use our eyes to take in things that are right in front of us. God wants us to open our hearts and to use our minds to imagine the possibilities. Now, I realize that seeing what is beyond in front of us can be a challenge. I realize that imagining what could be is rather difficult, particularly in this day and age. After all, we turn on the television or we hear in the media all about what is wrong in our world, in our country, and in our neighborhoods. No doubt, we are living in tumultuous times, times where some people live in great fear and uncertainty. Yet, I find myself wishing that we were not constantly bombarded with all of the bad things about life, all of the ills of society. I find myself wishing that we would see more about people working together and living together and praying together. We would see more about how hope manifests itself in our world. Tomorrow, we commemorate the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., a martyr, a minister, and an activist, and perhaps the most well-known civil rights leader. Needless to say, he lived during a time in America that was marked by division, racism, political turbulence. Many people lived in fear for their lives on a day-to-day basis and in great uncertainty. While Martin Luther King had a dream, he was painfully aware of the realities of the day. Yet he worked to calm people's fears, to close division, and to stamp out the injustice that prevailed in our country. At the same time, he had the courage to see, to imagine the possibilities beyond the harsh and unpleasant reality that existed. He was determined to make God's dream, a dream of peace, of love, and of justice, a reality for all of God's children. Martin Luther King saw difference. He saw race, creed, color, religious affiliation, financial status, but he dared to imagine that one day we wouldn't judge each other according to our differences. He recognized the reality of injustice, proclaiming that the Bank of Justice was bankrupt. He let this reality inspire him to protest and to fight harder for justice. He felt despair and responded with faith, envisioning a day when all people would work, pray, and struggle together. The dream that Martin Luther King spoke of in his speech, "I Have a Dream," at the March on Washington is God's dream, a dream that calls upon us to come, to follow Jesus, and to see, not to give each other a cursory once-over or glance, but rather to come together and to seek to understand each other, to really look and see each other. A dream that insists that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. A dream that reminds us that we, all of us, every single one of us, is sacred to God and is loved by God. You know, God is much more imaginative than we are. Our Creator sees us and knows us, the good, the bad, the not so good. Yet our God has never given up on us. God still sees the possibilities within us. And God's dream is that we will truly see each other and not give up on each other. That we will see past what's in front of us, making what is possible a reality for all of God's children. Let us close now with a prayer written by Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. We thank you for your church, founded upon your word, that challenges us to do more than sing and pray, but to go out and work as though the very answer to our prayers depends on us and not on you. Help us to realize that humanity was created to shine like the stars and to live on through eternity. Keep us, we pray, in perfect peace. Help us to walk together, pray together, sing together, and live together until that day when all God's children will rejoice in one common band of humanity, in the reign of our Lord and our God, we pray. Amen.